Right now it's time to bring in Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. It is time for Appraise This. You can, of course, find them both right here on Robinhood Radio on a Tuesday morning or at tqag.com on the web. All right, so we're going to say, I'm getting weird music from someplace, so let me find out why. I know exactly why now. I think we should be fine now. There we go. Well, welcome in Tim and Greg. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, there was that music in the background. I have no idea why it was there, but it was there. Well, it's nice to speak to you guys.
Yeah, we're in two different locations today.
Uh-oh. Where are you now, Tim?
Viva Las Vegas.
Woo! And, you're back
it's
in
4:30 a.m.
4:30. Well, God bless you for... God bless you for rolling out of bed.
I'm still on East Coast time. Do you know that whenever I travel west, and I think, oh, I get to sleep in, and it's great. I don't have to be anywhere until 8 o'clock. You know, I'm teaching, and I'm up. I'm up. I was up at 3:30.
You know, back in the days when I used to take a vacation, I always took a month off a year. I took all my vacation at one time, and the first week, the reason I did that is the first basic week of the vacation, I had to get myself on vacation time.
I know.
Because you get up on vacation, and all of a sudden you're used to getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and so there you are sitting in a vacation place, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, right, nowhere to go.
Do you take your vacation, get ready for your vacation time at the beginning of your vacation, or do you need an extra week at the end of your vacation to get back into real time?
Well, that's why I used to take back when I took vacations before we owned our own business. The first 3 days of the first week, you're getting acclimated. And then the last week, the fourth week, you take the last 3 days to get reacclimated back to going back. So that's why I took them all together like that, because otherwise when you work the hours and you get up, it just doesn't work for me as a vacation. It just doesn't.
Do you know what cures that?
Retirement.
Yes. Thank you.
Retirement. I'm going to start off with a really weird article from TMZ. And it's because of the death of Christine McVie. And the article is called Personal Items Go for Big Money on the Heels of Death. And it goes in, and already it talks about what's been sold from Christine McVie. Dresses, her maxi dress for the album Rumors. That sold for $56,000.
Yeah, well... It's like Fleetwood Mac. I have to say I loved that growing up. I had that Rumors album, played it until the grooves wore thin. I just loved it. It was one of my favorites, and Fleetwood Mac themselves. So I think that it's part of also an era of, this is also a time period that people who grew up with that can afford things like that. And remember it. And why do people collect? It's part of recapturing your youth. It's part of the nostalgia of what you remember. And it's part of our whole cultural history as well.
Yeah, my Fleetwood Mac was one of... I'm not a rocker, never have been, never will be. But there's a handful of rock groups that really had an impact on me, that I really listened to all the time, and the Cloud Fleetwood Mac was for one manufacturing. Of them.
Here's that music again. I don't know where that comes from. This is ridiculous. I'm just gonna have to go like this.
Oh, and you know what? Just
the
FYI,
ghost in the
Marshall. Just FYI, when that music started, I started fading in and out.
Well, I can't stop this music.
You,
I'm gonna have to do this. Boom, there we go. Jesus. I have no idea where it's coming from, but then again, that's this morning. Were you guys as shocked as I was when I heard that she died and she was 80-some years old? I was shocked.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I had no clue. You know, I don't know what it is, but when you think about, other than the publicity that Rolling Stones get and Mick Jagger for being, they actually say how old he is, you never really heard about how old, you know, people in a lot of these other groups that are still performing. You just kind of think of them as timeless. And I was like dumbfounded when I found out she was that old. Well, that's not old. I should talk. I'm 73 this year, so she's a contemporary.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I think I saw a picture of her when from just like a year and a half ago, and she still looked as amazing as she did. I was driving in the car, and I heard this, and I pulled over, and I said, it can't be. I know it's because I'm 70, but it can't be. These people don't ever age in my eyes. It's amazing.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
Stevie Nicks is another one, by the way. She's another one who doesn't seem to get any older.
All right. Well, we'll go from one music story to another. Elvis Presley's private jet's going up for auction. Now, don't jump and go. I mean, it's kind of dilapidated. I'm looking at the picture of this.
It kind of.
A 1962 Jetstar that looks like it's been used for target practice. It's amazing. It's Meekum and Kissimmee is going to be the ones auctioning it off. When it was flyable, it reached maximum speeds, which nowadays is crazy, of only 500 miles an hour. But it had a fuel range of almost 2,000 miles. So it's pretty interesting to look at it. But, man, I don't know what they think they're going to get for. I really don't.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun thing to follow. Elvis is Elvis, and even though he's left the building, he seems to show up every now and then. And I think he showed up again. We'll see what happens with this sale. But you know, have you ever been to Graceland by any chance?
No.
Oh my God, put that on your bucket list. It is truly, truly an experience. And it's fun. It's heartwarming. It's interesting. It's weird. It's wacky. It has everything that, you know, is an entertainment. It has everything. And when I was working with the Joffrey in the 90s, we performed there, and they gave us a private tour of Graceland. Did you know they have their own zip code?
No.
Yes, they do. They have their own zip code. Everything that you buy there, if you have it shipped, that's their zip code. They have their own zip code. Everything. What's there is his airplanes. Well, at least one of them is there now still, but it's really a hoot. It's you just got to go. I can't even begin to explain it. It is an experience, and you really owe it to yourself to go.
Well, I'll try to put it on my list, but I don't know.
I don't know. You don't sound like a fan. I will tell you this, that on my way here to Las Vegas, I flew in over the weekend, and in Atlanta, there was an Elvis impersonator, and I'm traveling with my assistant who's taking classes as well. So I'm teaching appraisal methodology for the National Auctioneers Association, and Margaret is taking the class, and I'm also doing another class that I'll be teaching. But we were in the airport, and there was an Elvis impersonator. I said, look, Elvis is flying back to Las Vegas. He's going back into residency.
Was he on your flight, or was he just there?
No, he was on a flight into Las Vegas. But back to the jet that you were talking about, Marshall, it is coming up for auction, but back in 2017, yep, that plane did sell for $430,000. So it'll be interesting to see the Elvis staying power and what this ultimately brings, especially when you talk about, well, it's got to be conditioned, but it's not in the best of condition. It's just, it's Elvis had owned it, previous provenance. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes, especially if it goes for as much as Meekum is hoping.
Well, it sat on the tarmac for 5 years without people touching it. And if people are aware, when Donald Trump became president, they mothballed his Trump plane, right? For the 4 years, they had to do a complete restore. They had to do a complete restore of it once he was not president and wanted to fly it again. It took almost a year to do the complete restore they had to do for that. And that was at an active airport. But this is from 77. I know you'll be able to find parts, but you know it's hard to find parts for a car from 1977.
Come on,
I know. Find a plane.
Well, I just want to know where they found red velvet seats. I mean, come on.
I don't know if I'd want to sit in a red velvet seat in a plane that was owned by Elvis.
Focus.
I have certain standards. they may be low, but now this story once again, we're finding more and more about stories like this. A symbolist masterpiece was expected to be the most expensive painting ever sold in Poland. Police are trying to seize it because they believe it was stolen. And the reason they found out about it, it wasn't packed properly. It's a pretty wild story.
When they say they think it was stolen, I mean, it either somebody reported it stolen or they didn't. So it's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't.
Well, the police,
I don't understand.
The police think it was stolen and taken out of the country in the 1950s. They thought it was going to go for anywhere from $3 to $4.9 million. It was last seen by the public in Ukraine in 1926. After that, whereabouts became unknown. Until it showed up at a German auction last year and was acquired by this person that wants to sell it. So there is a shaky history on this.
Well, it'll come out. These things, in the past 10 to 15 years, art theft and discovering things that have been stolen, they're much easier to find than it used to be. Used to be like finding a needle in a haystack. Now it's amazing what they can do to verify that something has been stolen. Because so one of the things is if they know the painting's original whereabouts and who the last person to own it was, that's usually a good jumping off point. So they'll find out for sure. And I don't think it's going to be as difficult to find out as you would think nowadays. You know, with DNA and all of that stuff now, it makes it so much easier that I think you're going to have to establish the last known provenance and then go from there.
All right, back to good old New York City. It started a couple of days ago and it ran through today, and that was Sotheby's Magnificent Jewels auction, which was on view. The live auction is actually coming up tomorrow. Leading the event, a golden canary, the largest internally flawless diamond ever graded by the Gemological Institute of America, a pear-shaped fancy diamond. It weighs 303.10 carats.
Wow.
And it's pretty magnificent if you take a look at the photograph.
Well, it better be magnificent. It's estimated to sell for $15 to $20 million. That would be one of the most damned. I guess you really have to, if you love jewelry. I'm looking at a picture of it now. If you love jewelry, it is an amazing piece of jewelry.
Right. And you have to look at the artistry, and also there's a lot more that goes into the jewelry sale, because there is the artistry, there's the designer, but then you look at the materials and you look at the carat weight, you look at the clarity, the cut, there's a lot of factors that go into what makes a diamond not only spectacular, but also desirable and valuable. So it's really understanding that. But along with that comes its rarity, is that there's, there, a lot of, and we were talking about this in the class, is that at a certain level, there's a lot of diamonds that are out there. But when you look at the top 1-2% of the market, and you start getting to a certain carat weight and a certain cut and design, then you're starting to get lesser and lesser numbers of items out there. And that's where the value starts going up. So that's what, at the end of the year, typically all the major auction houses and regional auction houses have their magnificent jewelry sale. And Hindman has theirs coming up. We have ours, I think it's this week or the beginning of next, but it's all in this time period is when a lot of the jewelry, the magnificent jewelry sales take place at the end of the year, because Christmas is coming, and so is Hanukkah.
Somehow, I'm not in that class of people.
I know. High net worth. You got to think of high net worth clients. I've got to get something.
I know.
They have to shop too.
That's right. That's right. And now they don't even have to go to the auction. They can do it sitting at home.
On their phone. I know.
Well, this is one of those areas I think I'd have to see it in person, though.
Well, yes, Greg, but don't you think that, and we know, we have several friends that buy expensive jewelry. I'm sure that they also have a contact at the auction house,
yeah,
or they will ask for a condition report, look this over. And this is something that it's also, it's not really about opinion, where you call an auction house about a painting and they say, well, you know, here are the physical characteristics or what is the condition and it looks okay. This is, hey, tell me the condition, and they have it down to the micros. Okay, there's a minor crack or a minor chip, or it's flawless, and it's in excellent, and it doesn't fluoresce. There's a lot of other things that go into what you look at for a diamond, and it's pretty spectacular. It's magnificent. That's why it's called the magnificent.
That's why it's in that sale. Yeah. Huh. Well, you know, I think I get the notifications for all of these, and I think I want to say that the Hindman sale, I haven't gotten one yet for the Hindman sale this week, so I'm assuming it's probably going to be either the end of this week or the beginning of next.
All right, let's go to a famous person in history, Marie Antoinette.
Now, let them eat cake.
Now, my grandmother always used to say when we were acting, when we were wasting things and throwing food around, she used to say to my sister, who do you think you are, Marie Antoinette? And I never figured out why, because even as a kid, I knew that she lost her head. And I was looking at my sister saying, why is she saying that to my sister all the time?
Right.
Who do you think you are, Marie Antoinette? Hey, but anyways, now this sounds like a bargain to me. Her try-on guitar. Which she actually ended up giving to a musical member of her entourage, is up for auction in France, and they're thinking it's somewhere between 60,000 and 80,000 pounds. To me, now that sounds like a bargain. I mean, it's Marie Antoinette. Just about everybody knows who Marie Antoinette is.
Sure.
Well, yeah, that's that. I don't know. That's just an estimate. I think it could sell for more. It could sell for less. I mean, this is one of those things that we've talked about in the past where this is the first time something like this has come up for auction. And I'm not sure what the history of this particular guitar is, but the fact that it did belong to Marie Antoinette, I don't think I've ever heard of it coming up for sale. It doesn't mean it hasn't, but I mean, something as iconic as anything that belonged to Marie Antoinette, if it had come up for sale, I think it would be one of those things in our lexicon of auctions that we would have heard about in the past. So it'll be interesting to see. Who knows if it hasn't gone up for sale? This is the estimate. They don't know where it's going to sell. So this will be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, and I didn't realize she was so musically inclined that, you know, to have a guitar. But when I was just searching, and I put the G in, and there was also, which I found fascinating, it's on display at Madame Tussauds, the Wax Museum. It's the blade, the guillotine blade that was used to behead her, since you brought up the beheading. But they actually have that, and it belonged to the executioner's family. It was passed down in their family, and it's on display at the Wax Museum. I mean, talk about grisly.
Everybody ought to have a guillotine blade.
Everybody ought to have a guillotine blade, I'm telling you.
Oh, gosh. Well,
on that note.
Yeah, on that note, I want to play the place. A rare John Lennon Yoko Ono issue of Rolling Stone is going to auction for charity. And you might say, well, how is that going to get anything in? It's the issue that photographer Annie Leibovitz was invited just hours before he was murdered to take a picture for the cover. And that's the picture that's on the cover. And that's what makes this auctionable.
Yes.
Yeah. This is one of those moments. Do you remember where you were at that time?
I was watching Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell made the announcement. That's no lie. He broke in and did an 8-minute piece on the death of John Lennon.
Wow.
Watching it on Monday Night Football.
I was I lived in New York at the time. I was walking up the 72nd Street subway entrance coming home from teaching in New Jersey, and I couldn't figure out why everybody was walking over towards Central Park. And I asked somebody what was wrong, and they just said, John Lennon's been murdered. What? So like everybody else, I had to walk over there. And it was a place and time that I will never, it's just etched right there in my memory.
Yeah. Well, the auction started yesterday and is going to go for 2 weeks. The bids begin at $1,000 for it. Now, I'm sure it's going to finish way north of that. The current bid right now is actually not that bad.
It's not bad. It's $1,300 right now.
Yeah,
is the current bid.
Yeah.
Next bid is $14, but it's just starting out.
Yeah.
And the word is just getting out there. This is something that I talked about in class a lot yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit more today. It's the context of value. What makes this valuable? Why is this valuable? And it's that intangible aspect that gives value to the tangible piece. And it's that magazine or that. And I would love to see where the original photograph is. That also would be a wonderful piece. But it'll be great, and it's good that this is going to charity. So it'll be interesting to see where this ultimately sells.
Don't you think that Annie Leibovitz, she probably has, I can't even imagine what her archives are.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got the original, yeah. Yeah,
and the original negative. But that's the thing with photographs, is that you have the original negative, which also has value. But how many prints are going to be made from that? Because that can also affect its value. Is it the very first printing? Or is it, you know, was it printed at that time? Or was it printed in 2022? That also is going to make a difference. Same image, just different times of when it was printed. So that also affects its value.
All right, when we speak to you next week, are you both going to be at the same zip code?
I will be.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes. Yes, my team will be in town actually next week. We're doing a little appraisal summit, so everybody is coming to town so that we can do a year review, go over everything, gear up for next year. And actually next Tuesday, Greg, we're having a little get together at the house with the family, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so
he just notifies me when he's passing through town.
That's right. Well, guys, I want you to have a good week. And we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, have a great week.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack appraise this, TQAG.com on the web.